Let's pray together. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into His image. All righty, you may be seated. Today we're going to be talking about, Mike and I, come on up, Mike. Mike and I are going to be talking about what I've entitled the dark side of faith. It's the part of the faith conversation that people don't like to have. Or that maybe we're not even aware of. So would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, then verses 17 through 28, and then verses 39 and 40. Of course, Hebrews 11, of course, being the famous faith chapter. All righty? Beginning with verse 1. Now, faith is confidence. I'm reading out of an NIV. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. But by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I'm trying not to stop, but let me stop right here for a second. This is the dark side of faith. Abraham went to a land he did not know where he was going. You see, this is what aggravates people about God. We want God to explain Himself to us. Well, where are we going? What are we going to do? Or when we're going to get there? Just imagine, and let me just pause for you just a minute. Just imagine for a moment. Take your mind and go back 4,000 or 5,000 years to Abraham before he was Abraham. His name was Abram. You have to realize that Abram did not own a Bible. Abram did not know who the person of the Holy Spirit is. Abram was not a Christian. Even when he became Abraham, he was not a Christian. Okay? He was a worshiper of lots of gods. And one day he's out. He hears from the one true holy God, I want you to take everything you've got, pack it up, and move to another place. And Abram says to God, well, where am I going? And God says, I'll tell you when you get there. Now, forget Abram in that quandary for just a minute. Let's enter into the picture Mrs. Abram. And so your husband comes home one day and says, oh, by the way, I heard from God today. Which one? The real one. Well, then how did you know it was the real one? Because he spoke to me. Are you sure you weren't out in the sun too long? No, not having a heat stroke. Well, what did this real God say to you? He said to pack up everything we're moving. Did a goat kick you in the head? Okay? Now just put yourself in that situation. He had more questions than he had answers. That's where faith kicks in. But you see, move forward now 4,000 or 5,000 years to September the 11th, 2011. We don't know anything about faith because we don't want to move until we have all of our questions answered. Okay? And Pastor, when you say move, are you talking about us as a church? Yes. But I'm also talking about us in our individual lives. We don't exercise faith in our giving because we want God to give us more than we can spend and then we'll give God what's left over. We don't exercise faith in our jobs because we will steal from the boss to take something home because we don't believe God will supply for us. You see what I'm saying? And so the dark side of faith is this. It ain't faith if you know. If you have knowledge, no faith is required. Okay? All right. So, man, I got ahead of myself anyway. Let's go back to verse 8. It was faith that Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking toward the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man and his good and he as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sands on the seashore. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead and say, let me do it one more time right here, verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead because Abraham had no historical reference that God had ever raised anyone from the dead. Abraham did not know the story of Lazarus. Abraham did not know the story of Jairus' daughter. He didn't know that. That was 3,000 years into the future. 2,000 years into the future. He didn't know that story. So he just sort of reasoned in his mind, well, if God tells me to kill him and I kill him, I guess God can raise him from the dead. But he didn't know for sure. And that not knowing is called faith. Doing what God says do, even though you don't know what the outcome is going to be. All right. Where was I? Thank you. 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He preserved because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now, once again, let me put another parenthesis right here. Go back with me to verse 24. By faith, when Moses was grown up, I want everybody to look at me. I walked through a Walmart store this morning. On my way to church, I needed to stop in Walmart for a second. I'm walking through the Walmart store and there's a t-shirt, and on the t-shirt it reads, growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. There are a lot of people who never grow up. They simply get older, but they never grow up. How do you know when you are grown up? And right here in Hebrews 11, it gives us the three signs of grown-ups. They refuse to be known as a child of the world. Sign number one. They refuse to be known as a child of the world. Because you see, you're either a child of the world or you're a child of God. That's the only two choices you got. You're a child of the world or you're a child of God. And people who are grown up, in fact, if you go back and look at the King James for this verse, it doesn't use the word grown up. Can anybody tell me what King James says there? The word in King James, verse 24, doesn't use the word grown up. What does it say in the King James? I know the answer. I just wonder if anybody else knew. Come to years, but I think the King James actually says something else, doesn't it? Come of age. Okay, maybe it's a different translation then, uses the word mature. Okay, King James may say come of years. NIV says grown up. One translation uses the word mature. But Moses, when he was mature, one of the signs of maturity, one of the signs of growing up, is a declaration to the world, I'm different from you because I'm a child of God instead of a child of this world. Second sign of maturity, he chose to be associated with the people of God rather than to be associated with the fleeting pleasures of sin. That when it came down, because here, and if you've got any religion in you, what I'm about to say is going to cause it to jump up. Okay? Sin is fun. Okay, now all the religious people want to go, okay, but sin is fun. Okay? The Bible says so. It also says for a season. And when the season runs out, that's when you pay the hell. Okay, when the season runs out, that's when the hell gets paid. But sin is fun. And one of the signs of maturity is that when you come down to a choice of the fleeting pleasures of sin or being associated with the righteousness of the people of God, that you choose the righteousness. And then the third sign is that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ a greater value. In other words, I would rather you think me an idiot for obeying God than for you to think me a smart man for obeying the world. There's your three signs of coming of years, growing up, becoming mature. There's your three signs right there. That's a sermon all in itself. All right. But today we're talking about faith. Now skip down to verse 39. Now let's slow down right here and look at verse 39. These were all commended by whom? By God. For their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Uh-oh, nobody told us that, did they? See, this is the dark side of faith. Is that sometimes God makes promises to you that you never see fulfilled, David? It's your son Solomon who actually builds the temple. And you never see it, not this side of eternity. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So, what Mike and I are going to discuss today is this dark side of faith. Let me give you another example from Scripture. Elizabeth, who is John the Baptist's mother. Okay? She's old. Her husband is old. She becomes pregnant. Her husband one day is at work. He's a priest in the temple. And he is at work, and an angel comes to him and says, I know that nobody in your house, in your family is named John. I know that. But you're going to name this child John. And his daddy goes, okay. And the angel says, and to make sure that you do, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to strike you mute until after he's born. And after he's born, we'll see about you getting your voice back. So he strikes him mute. He goes to work one day, he can talk. He comes back from work that day, he can't talk. Now, I know a lot of you wives are praying for that, okay, but that's another subject. He goes to work one day, he can talk. He comes home from work and he... You're just now getting that, aren't you? Okay. He comes home from work and he can't talk. And then the child is born. And they say to Elizabeth, what are you going to name him? Elizabeth says, we're going to name him John. And they go, no, you can't name him John. You got to give him a family name. So they cut... And I can't remember the daddy's name off the top of my head. What was John the Baptist's daddy's name? Elizabeth's husband. Anyway, they come to him and say, hey, your wife wants to name him John. What do you say? And he wrote down John, and his voice came back. Now, imagine how miraculous a miracle that is. And yet this child grew up to stand in the middle of a nasty river with a grasshopper in one hand, a honeycomb in the other hand, and scream at all of the preachers of his day, you guys have all lost your mind. There is a condemnation that is coming to you. You are like wheat that is in a field and there's a sickle that's coming to cut you down. You're like a root that's into a tree and there's an axe getting ready to be laid right straight to your root, and great is going to be your destruction. Let me take a head off that grasshopper. And you guys are all wrong. Let me take a suck off this honeycomb. Standing in a river with his clothes on, wrong side out. Hollering at the preachers of his day, you guys are all wrong and I'm the only one who's right. Now put yourself in Elizabeth's place. Wouldn't you think God would have lost his, that your son would have lost his mind? Because see, you don't have, in Elizabeth's place, you don't have the blessing of hindsight. So what God did was, God promised her a child. God gave her a child in her old age. So that as he grew, she was getting older. So that when he went to do what God really did call him to do, she could die. God gave John to Elizabeth while she was old so that she'd be dead when he went to do what God wanted him to do. Why? So that she could stand where God is and watch her son. So you got to remember, there's a life after this one. In fact, let me re-say that. There's a better life after this one for some people. There's a better life after this one. Okay? And so she was able to stand and watch her son and look over at God and going, is that right? And God going, yep, he's doing exactly what I want him to do. She was able to stand, and if you've got a question, I'm coming to you. If she's got a question, and I can almost see God sitting up there as Jesus is coming that way going, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Yeah, if you thought he had lost his mind, watch this. Okay? Because my son's getting ready to talk to your son. And Jesus comes right down there. Now see, I will admit to you that this imagination of mine is what got me in trouble for 55 years. Okay? Because you're not going to hear people talking like this. But if you'll stop and think, this is what happened. Jesus said, watch my son interact with your son. And then he said, and that ain't even the best part. Watch this. Hey, Holy Spirit, run down there and confirm the whole conversation. And the Holy Spirit went down there like a dove. And God said, and you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm on the top of the pole here. How about I confirm the whole thing? God just put the sky back and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And Elizabeth standing right there going, that's my boy.
That's right.
But you see, her faith had a dark side. It had an unknowing. It had things that weren't finished. Did you have a question? Thank you, Zachary. That's exactly right. Or Zachary. Was it Zachary? Okay. Zachary was Elizabeth's husband, John the Baptist's daddy. Okay. Your son could have told me who it was. Yeah. He called me the other day when I couldn't remember a name, and he was listening to one of the sermons. He called me to tell me who it was. And then he called me back and said, oh, somebody else told you at the end of the service. That's something like that's true. There's a dark side to faith, ladies and gentlemen. Because if God cuts on all of the light, faith is eliminated. We now see, 1 Corinthians tells us, through a glass darkly. We know in part, we prophesy in part, and we preach in part. But we don't know it all. And this is where faith becomes uncomfortable. It's in the not knowing that then our faith is tried, T-R-I-E-D, like as if it were in a fire, so that if we remain faithful in the unknowing, our faith comes out as gold, silver, and precious stones. Or as Hebrews tells us here, we get, and just think of this, these people in Hebrews were commended by God. In other words, when they arrived in heaven, God said to them, you did a good job. God patted them on the back for their continued belief, even though they didn't know. But you're not going to hear a preacher on TV tell you this. Because this is not what people want to hear. But this is what the truth is. You see, and part of our frustration in our relationship with God is that we get frustrated when He doesn't tell us everything. Or if something doesn't happen exactly when we thought it was supposed to happen. But God not only has a plan, God also has a timing for His plan. Mike?
I think the most exciting part about that is in the Old Testament, it said that these people didn't see the promise fulfilled. They did once they got to the other side.
Right.
They did see it. But you see, because of the New Testament, because of Christ, we began to see in the New Testament, people began to believe God, to step out by faith, and did begin to see. And you and I need to understand, and we can be strengthened by the faith of these people who did not see the promise on their side. Because there's some of us have been believing God for things for a long time and haven't seen the fruition of that. Well, these people believed God, and the fruition came, but not in their lifetime. So that makes you want to say, well, you know, I'm kind of discouraged. Well, then when Jesus came, it really sped up the process.
Right.
And we began to see when people step out by faith, the thing to understand is that the process is sped up because of Christ.
And we began to see in the New Testament examples
of people believing God and seeing the promise. The lady with the issue of blood.
She, by faith, had to touch the hem of His garment.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith, she was made whole. And because of her faith, because she knew if she just touched the hem of His garment, there was a measure of, Jesus said, somebody touched me with a measure of faith. He said, what was it said went out of him?
Virtue.
He said, virtue went out of me. She was pulling on the virtue of God and got healed. Lazarus was an example. Even though there were some people there not in faith.
Right.
Thank God Jesus was. The soldier with the sick daughter.
Daughter.
And so we see in the New Testament examples of people believing God and seeing it happen. So what you and I can do is with our faith, when the dark side rises, you know, this has never going to happen. or you're never going to see the fruition of this, or how long are you going to believe when it looks like the opposite is happening? Well, that's why in the New Testament, I believe the writers of the New Testament, especially Paul, started really trying to encourage us, don't give up, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And what the word says is that the example in the Old Testament came to fruition. The examples in the New Testament came to fruition. And I've learned and have said this before that when you want to talk about healing, share hearing. If you want to believe God for healing, share healing stories. If you want to go on for provision, want to believe God for provision, share provision stories, because the dark side will try to pull you right out of it and say, it's never worked for you. It's not going to work for you. You may as well give up. You may as well quit. But see, faith will arise and deal with the dark side. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that, you know what, God, even though I don't see it in the natural, I'm not giving up. Your word says faith comes by the word. The just shall live by faith. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. Faith says the promise is true no matter what my circumstances say. Faith says the promise is true no matter what it feels like. Faith says the promise is true if everybody gets up and leaves. The promise is true. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to. And so when you start, you see the examples in the Old Testament, they believed God and then stood in heaven and watched the fruition. Because the word talks about it. There's a cloud of witnesses, y'all. And those are the very people that are there today watching, saying the faith that you're, the things that you're believing God for, they're saying, hang on, don't give up. We didn't give up. Some of it we didn't see it. The Old Testament saints said we didn't see it till we got up here. But thank God we saw the fruition, because there's more than just me. There's another generation behind me that needs to see the salvation of our God, that needs to see the results of our faith. The dark side is there. It's something we must contend with. It's something we do contend with. But that what it is that I'm going to stand and believe God's word no matter what. Right. I'm going to stand and receive the promises of God no matter what. The word that I spoke to this man many years ago, when he said, I give up, I said, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And he looked at me as if I said, this world is made of cheese. But I kept pulling on that. And no matter what he'd say, the gifts and the callings of God, you're called. You're called. I don't care what you've done, what you've said, how you feel, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it sounds like, what it seems like. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the word of God. And he's been able to stand and pastor since. In my life, I've looked at the situation and said, you know, Lord, it looks like it'll never happen again. But the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Amen. It doesn't matter what I think. It what matters what he said.
Right.
And that's what faith does. Faith goes beyond the way I think. Hallelujah. Faith goes beyond the way it looks. Hallelujah. The dark side rises up and it looks as if, seems as if, smells as if, tastes as if, senses as if it'll never happen. But you see, we've got a greater promise. And that God is who he says he is. He will do what he says he'll do. And his word is the final judgment. And the neat thing for us is, whatever we're believing God for, if we'll hold on, we'll find confirmation through that time. Today's the day of confirmation. Whatever you're holding for, whatever you're believing God for, you say, well, I've been believing God for 53 years. I'm 53 years old. There's areas I've been believing God for as long as I can remember. And I cannot move on anything except that what God put in me, God will complete. And usually the reason it happens that way is when it gets completed, I can't touch it. I can say only God could do that.
Right.
Only God could do that. But see, we strengthen each other with the good side of faith, with the bright side of faith, with the real side of faith. The dark side rises up to pull us out. And y'all, people quit every day for whatever reason. But the truth of the matter is, if God's put something on the inside of you and you know that his word will confirm it, and you're believing him through time, you'll find more confirmation, and eventually you'll see the fruition of what you've been believing him for. The truth of the matter is, faith says, I receive it now. So what God's promised for me, I receive it now. When it manifests, that's God's timing. God says I'm called. God says I'm blessed. God says I'm healed. God says my provisions are there. Well, I receive that by faith. The dark side of faith says, rises up. Am I doing this right?
You're right?
The dark side of faith rises up and says, you're not going to win. You're not going to live. You're not going to do it. You're not going to see your provisions. You're going to go under. It's going to be the end of the world. But the Bible is one example after another. We just heard all these examples out of the book of Hebrews of faith rising. He said, these people live by faith and they live without the witness of the Spirit on the inside of them. You and I have the witness of the Holy Ghost inside of us. When we get to the point that we don't know what to do, Jude verse 20 says, but you, brethren, build yourselves up on your most holy, what? Faith. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. So when you get to the point you say, oh, I give up. I quit. I'm just going to die. I'm never going to be free. I'm never going to see this. No, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Do what you got to do. Speak the word. Read the word. Quote the word. God, if you did it for Abraham, you'll do it for me. If you did it for Pastor Don, you'll do it for me. If you did it for Dan, you'll do it for me. If you did it for Samima, you'll do it for me. Whatever it takes, I'm not going to let the dark side pull me back. What if Abraham had listened? What if Sarah had said to him, you're not packing me up. This is my house. I spent all these years putting everything right where I wanted. And you're going to pack it up and get it out of here and go to a place that we don't even know about? A woman's security is her home. And Abram goes to her and says, guess what? God says, we're moving. Can you imagine? She could have looked at the dark side and said, bye. You have a good time. And when you get where you belong and you build me a house and you get everything in order and you get everything right, then you'll see me there. But no, Sarah didn't do that. Same thing with the promise of a child. They were both 100 years old beyond childbearing. I'm 53, y'all, and I don't want a baby. I'd love children. But the more I watch people with babies nowadays, all I can think of is thank God that's behind me. I babysat my grandson Friday night, but the great thing about it is I was babysitting. I enjoyed my time with him, but I was able to leave him there with his mom and daddy and go home and sleep all night long. I'm too old to be waking up every 5 minutes. I'm too old to be dealing with all that. So thank God God did what he did. Why I got on that, I don't know. But we need to understand that we are where we are today, and we cannot give up on the promises of his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. What does the word say? That the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That no matter how human he may act, no matter how natural, carnal, real he may get, it does not void the gift and call of God. I have a gift and call of God. You know what I believe? My children have a gift and call of God. All four of them. And I may go there before I see the fruition of it. But I call on it. I call on it. God, you've called them. They're going to serve you. They're going to believe in you. They're going to know you. And they're going to witness of you. They're going to use what's in them for you. I call on that. Y'all, in the natural, don't look that way. In the natural, some people don't think that about me. But I'm not moved by what people think. You can't be. If you've got a promise from God and it's out there, you're going to get there by faith. The dark side of faith says you're not going to make it. The dark side of faith says it's taking too long. You've been believing this long. And the greatest thing we need to understand is anytime God comes through with his promise, with his provision, with his healing, or with his whatever, when we step over into, and in the natural, we do receive the manifestation of that thing, which last week he talked about the number one call of God on this house is to see God. When it happens face to face in a tangible way that God shows up in this place, and it may be he'll split the sky just like he did the day Jesus was baptized and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And if you want to do that, it won't harm me at all. I'll fall out on the floor just like everybody else in this room. But God, so be it. But when it happens, the day that it happens, we'll look back on all the time, on all the junk, on what's happened in the natural, on the money, on the people, on the words, on the stuff, and none of that will matter.
Right.
Because the fruition of what God said he was going to do is more than enough. Amen. Worth it than all the junk we've been through. All the stuff people said. All the things that have happened. It will be more than enough. We will stand and see the salvation of our God. That's what the bright side of faith will see. But you see, the dark side raises its head and we all look at it. We look at this world. We look at the system. We look at our president. We look at the things that are going on. We say, there is no way we're going to make it. Do you have a promise from God? Well, then the promise of God is greater than the no way we're going to make it. And the dark side is designed to cause us, everyone, to quit. To cause us, everyone, to get up. But what we need to do is stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Faith builds faith. We heard all those faith stories in the book of Hebrews. All those faith stories. If God did it for them, He's going to do it for us. We cannot give up. We cannot hold back. We cannot quit. I thought this morning when he said, I thought I had nothing to give. But by faith, God said, yeah. Amen. Here we go. The bright side of faith, says, y'all, don't give up. Don't quit. If everybody else does. If the whole situation changes tomorrow, don't be moved. If we don't know where this chair is going to go next week, don't be moved by that. What you said last week when you said that you were crying before God, I listened to the tape on the way down here. You were crying before God last week and you felt like there was so much. And then when you got through, you wiped your tears off your face, you wiped your tears off your desk. And it was more what I hear, but nevertheless, but not my will, but yours be done. I'm not going to be moved by the way this seems. I'm not going to be moved. I can remember when the Lord told us to sell this building, and here was this building, and our payment went from $1,000 a month to $10,000 a month. And I was sitting in the bathroom saying, oh God, I can't leave this place because I'm so tore up. My stomach is just all tore up in the natural. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be moved. I don't know how to do this. God, we're going to move all these people to a different county 10 miles away. How can this work? We're going to go from $1,000 a month payment to $10,000 a month. How can you do it? How can you do it? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me as clearly as I'm speaking to you. And he said, your pastor said go. Your bishop said go. At this point, you have to go. And even if it weren't me, I have to bless you. That's what being under authority is all about, y'all. That's what, because if the authority of God says go, what can you do? And he said, you have to go and I'll bless you in it. You know what? I got off that pot and I said, no more. I didn't wipe the tears off. I'm not going to talk about that. But I was free to go forward. So I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what the dark side of faith. The dark side of faith says you're not going to make it. The dark side of faith says your finances are at the end and you may as well just give up and go live under a bridge. Some folks have done that. I lived in my car for a season. And thank God I had my car. And when it tore up, it just tore me all out of frame. But God said, I got something waiting for you. Just hold on. It's obvious this boy's never gone hungry. God's always taken care of me. Sometimes I tell people, you know what? I'm God's favorite and I don't know why. He takes care of me beyond, and I don't know why, because faith arises, because you know what? I believe in him, because my heart is there. His desire is to see God. God wants to show himself in this place, in this ministry, whether it's in this room or not. He wants to show up greater than we would ever have desire for it to happen. You know that? And there's a reason why he's waiting. Some of them have left. Some of the doubt and disbelief has gone. And I don't know what it's going to take for it to happen. I'm not worried about it, whether it's with me or without me. All I know is it's what he put in the pastor. God will do it. God will do it. And it'll be worth the wait when it happens. It won't be, see y'all, we told you. That doesn't matter. We're not trying to be vindicated. He's not trying to say, well, see, I told him. I knew all along. It's humble yourself before the Lord. You said it last week. I want to preach last week's sermon. It's talking about being humble in spirit. Lord, faith says go. Faith says move. Sometimes faith says be still and know that I am God. Lord, right now I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything, but I'm just going to stay right where I am, knowing that you are God. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
And whatever the dark side of faith, The time factor. See, we're only hindered because of time. Otherwise, there'd be no such thing as the dark side of faith. We're only hindered because of time. We're fixing to experience. When we leave this earth, we're going to experience something that we will no longer even have to understand about time, because it no longer exists. Time will no longer exist. But see, on this side, we're hindered by time. Therefore, that's what raises that dark side of faith. But there are marriages that are not making it. There are finances. There are health issues. There are, obviously, where do we be issues. There are so many issues that are out there, y'all. They're right here. They're not just out there. They're in here. There are people in this room don't know if you're going to make it through till next week. There are times I don't know that. But you know what? I keep making it. Because I know whom in whom I have believed. And he is able. Let me say that. And he is able to keep me against all those things. Right. Because I'm committed to him. So hold on, y'all. The dark side of faith is there. And it's just time. God said to you, there's a place. God said to you, there's a provision. God says to you, there's a healing. God says to you, there's everything you need. But even greater than that, God says to you, I am.
Right.
And whatever your question is, whatever your mountain is, whatever your decisions may be, whatever our next step is, the answer is that God says, I am. That's all that matters.
Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3, and we'll conclude this conversation. Daniel chapter 3. This is the account where Nebuchadnezzar puts up a golden image and makes everyone in the country worship the golden image. And then three of his servants, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to do so. In Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, this is where Nebuchadnezzar finds out that the three Hebrew children are not worshiping the golden idol. And he says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves. Woo-wee, right there is your whole sermon. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. And then, of course, the next verses go on to talk about how Nebuchadnezzar said, did we not throw in three, and yet I see four, one likened unto the Son of God. But what I want you to look back at is verse 18. Now, let's go back to verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from the majesty's hand. Look at the first three words of verse 18. But even if. But even if he doesn't. We are still not going to do what's wrong, but even if. If God doesn't come through like I think God's going to come through, I'm going to serve God anyway. If this thing doesn't happen like I think it's supposed to happen, I'm going to serve God anyway. But even if, no matter what, I'm going to be faithful to God. Remember once again, guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not have a Bible that they had read. They did not have a historical account of God's faithfulness. But they believed God anyway. When Saul became Paul, God did not spell out his life for him. Because if he had, Paul would have never signed up. All right, Paul, I want you to follow me. And in exchange, I'm going to allow you to be stoned. I'm going to allow you to go to prison. I'm going to allow you to be shipwrecked. Yeah, and while you're gathering firewood, you're going to get bit by a snake. Okay? You know, there's a dark side to faith that rises up and endeavors to steal our joy. But what God says is that when it looks dark, but even if you throw me in this fire, if God saves me, I'm going to serve Him. If God doesn't save me, I'm going to serve Him. But we have so Americanized the gospel that we think God is supposed to run in front of us, fix all of our little problems, and make us all real happy, and give us a Ballantine zip code and a Porsche to drive, and this great job where I only have to work 10 hours a week and get paid for 80. You know, we think that God is supposed to rain down dollar bills out of heaven and allow the rain to fall on our grass and not on the neighbors. If you listen to the guys on TV, that's how we're supposed to be living as Christians. What I'm trying to tell you is that is according to the guys on TV. It's just not according to the Word. The Word says things happen. Life is full of disappointments, but even if. Life is tripping me up sometimes, but even if. Sometimes life is discouraging, but even if. I am going to hold on to God. Because in the end, He's the only thing that's going to be left. I realize, as Pastor Mike brought out, there are some of you holding on to promises that you've been holding on to for years. There are even some promises that you hadn't even allowed yourself to think about anymore. Because although you may not be willing to admit it to yourself, you just don't believe it's going to get, you just don't believe it's going to happen. You won't say it won't happen, but you don't believe it's going to happen. There are marriages that are not going like they should. There are children that are looking like they've lost their ever-loving minds. Okay? You got to realize that just before the teen years, the Martians come and steal your child. Okay? And that child you had pre-teen is not there anymore until the Martians bring them back at about 24, 25, or 26. Okay? Your child is gone. I know it looks like your child, but it may look like your child, but it don't talk like your child. It don't act like your child. It's not thinking like your child. The Martians took your child. Okay? But even if, hold on. It might be that you're here this morning and I have applied at 1,000 places and I can't find a job. But even if, I don't know how I'm going to have gas money to get home. But even if, I don't know where dinner tomorrow is coming from. But even if, I'm going to hold on through the dark side and I'm going to come out on the bright side. This life or the next, I'm going to come out on the bright side. Jesus, we're grateful to You that You give to us the faith we need to carry us through the things that we're going through. That You give to us the faith we need to trust You in whatever it is we're going through. We thank You that You give us the faith and that you put confidence in that faith that we are going to make it through. And we give you honor and glory today. May we this week, O God, be your people of faith, commended by you, that we held on, that we held on, and that we held on.
Yes.
We give you honor and glory in our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen.